Hi, you're listening to A Side Quest, a video games podcast for people too busy to play video games. I'm Dave Rupert.
I'm Yan Hui.
I'm Zach Meyer.
And we are back. We are back from PAX. Wonderful, wonderful PAX South. We just went. We told you about it in the last show. We are back. That's kind of going to be what today's episode is about. Yan, did you want to kick us off on our PAX journey? Or actually, Zach, you went. You got there an hour before us, so maybe you should start.
I don't know if that makes me more of an expert, but yes, no, I was there.
Well, it's my fault. My part of the convoy, which is the rest of us, had to go get gas. Fill up a tire. Go get tacos. We were very late, so I apologize publicly here.
Well, at least you were well fed when you guys got there, and your tires were full of air. So that's key. That's definitely key. I started the Odyssey with first trying to figure out how to get into the building because it seemed like they kind of changed their entrance method this year. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the outside gate check. I think last year everything was
That was new. Building. That was a surprise. I think it was because of bad things like guns and conferences and things.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's fair. But I kicked the morning off with Corey Balrog's kind of like opening keynote, which was kind of interesting because it was a packed house. And for people not in the know, he's the director of the God of War series, and his keynote was basically kind of like a quick kind of like storybook plus how I got from being a cool animator guy to sort of like running my own narrative shop whole cloth. And he had a bunch of really fun anecdotal stories about meeting other writers and ambition and when to ignore the little voice, which is the sort of like the intuition part of everybody, and how ignoring the little voice had cost him on several occasions. But it was really good. One of the things I thought was really interesting was that he has a very close writing relationship with his father, who's also an author. And they apparently bike shed a lot of the stuff that happens in the God of War universe. And it really shines through the like father-son relationship stuff. And for the people who haven't played God of War yet, go buy a PlayStation 4 and play it because it's definitely worth your time and hard-earned cash. But it was just great to hear him talk about these, meeting other great creative people like George Lucas and so on, and like experience the growth of like making mistakes and bumping your head and, reaching too far. But when he did that, he learned a lesson and was able to bring that back into his storytelling. And I thought that was really cool. So it was a great way to start the morning. And then the day just got better as soon as you guys got there.
Hey, we had fun. We toured the expo floor. I think we went to every stall, I would say. We were responsible game journalists in that manner. But I don't know, we couldn't play every game because, and this is where my inner curmudgeon starts coming out. So I don't know if we want to kick it off with that. But like we were in line for this PlayStation VR thing where shoot a gun or whatever, and they had like 8 stalls and it was like 4v4 or something like that in this game, and we're about the 100th people in line, and it was like, hey, how long does this take? Well, we have 8 people that can go, and it's about a 20 minute run. And I'm just like doing quick math and I'm like, that's like 5 hours from now. Like, I'm not ever going to play this game. This is ridiculous. Or like there's another game I wanted to play. I got in line like 3 times, but it was like some Nazis versus something heroes, I guess. Good guys. Game, but it was VR, but they had like 3 or 4 VR rigs, and if the line is like 8 people long in a 20-minute demo, it was just like, I'm not, this is going to take an hour, 2 hours to like just play this weird Nazi game in VR. So
yeah,
I got so my opinions here, I'm going to start off on a negative note. That's not how you should start things, but it was very crowded. PAX was this year. And I didn't expect that. I don't know. We usually, our strategy is go on Friday. No one's there. We win. We get all the prizes. But it was very crowded this year on a Friday. And then part two was, and maybe that's because they had like a Smash tournament that Friday. That's probably what it was. But my next thing is like, I don't know. I just like bunches of people that really gets to me. So. What was my next thing? I had 2 points, but I can only remember one. Oh well. That's my thing. Demos are too long. Demos should be 10 minutes. That's my thing. There you go. I said it. Time limits on demos. I'm done.
Is this where the idea of Booth Tycoon came into effect?
Oh yeah, we did invent a game while we were on the floor called Booth Tycoon, and you try to maximize. People coming through your booth, you know, you're min-maxing and trying to make people happy, but also give them an experience. And it's a game where you compete to have the best booth. You have to have at least 4 displays. I think that's the sweet spot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Comfortable chairs. You got to have comfortable chairs,
which some places mm-hmm. blue. You have to kind of be, I don't know. You have to have maybe multiple games too. I think there was some studios kind of pitching like one game. You know, come play this one game that our studio offers, and it's like kind of like a rough cut of like some game they're making, which is cool. Like, I get like not all studios have like multiple games or whatever, and I don't want to shame them, but it was definitely like you know, you're,
it creates
you're kinda,
an unnecessary jam.
Creates a jam. Yeah, and then it's
and
it's also like, are you gonna hook people with this one game? You got one shot, you know, to grab people. You need. Wouldn't you rather have like 1 or 2 shots? You know, so that's
shout out to Devolver for having a booth with what, 4 titles
at least. Yeah, I wrote down like all of them to go buy later. Devolver won. Won PAX again for me. I don't know. Actually, last year I don't think they won it for me, but this year Devolver won. I mean, Jan, did you also enjoy Devolver?
Oh yeah, that was like one of the first booths I like beeline to, and again they had some of the best games I think available for demo.
Let's reminisce. What games were they?
they had the Messenger, and which is already been released, but I think they just wanted the demo. The Messenger, if you recall, it looks like a ninja 8-bit Ninja Gaiden game.
Yeah, it's an homage to Ninja Gaiden.
But the game that I immediately saw was Gato Roboto, which is a Metroidvania, a cat. Inspired Metroidvania. I mean, how? That's all you really need to know. But it's the black and white art style, like lo-fi, a la like Undertale or Minute. But what I liked about it was that it's a Metroid game, but you're a cat. And I didn't get the demo wasn't. I didn't play enough of the demo, or the demo felt short. But basically, whenever you're playing Metroid, you're playing as Samus. You can like turn into a ball and go into like the smaller rooms, right? And this time, you can just you're a cat in this big mechanical suit. But in order to get to the small areas, you can just get out of the suit and just crawl your way to do whatever. But again, like I said, I didn't get to demo much of it because of how short it was. But it's almost like the most anticipated title of 2019. They said that this is a 2019 release date, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, no, I think like Messenger, I was kind of like, oh, whatever, Ninja Gaiden, like Ninja Gaiden remake. But then it was like playing it. It was like, okay, this is fun. This is, and it even has like the where you jump on, you smash fire and get a double jump or whatever is good. And then what was the other one was Ape Out. Yeah. Which kind of game even is it? It's like a Hotline Miami kind of sort of game?
Yeah, it's defensive Hotline Miami would be like a really good description. So, yeah, you've got that same like top-down view. One of the things I liked about it, at least aesthetically, was sort of that it's like cel-shaded look to it. So that like kind of gave it this more like interesting art aesthetic. And just watching you get you play, Dave, it was like really interesting because, like, you know, like the Hotline Miami games, you're a squishy, but you've got massive weaponry, and so the whole you know conceit is that like you got to like pop in and hit and rush fast, where with Ape Out you're slower and you're not shooting anything, but you can push people, right?
Yeah, it was it was like you could grapple people and use them as like human shields, which is kind of frightening. Brutal. But but then it was also you're a unarmed ape who could like smash people, but you had to be like in close proximity to smash them. You know, you couldn't just you can't, as an ape, you can't like pick up a rifle and start using it. Maybe that's in later levels, I didn't know, but I thought that was cool. It's like the inverse of the kind of normal sort of, I don't know, just whatever smash shooter, you know. So it was fun. It's totally on my list. I don't know if it's out yet, but it was definitely like, this would be a game I would play, pick up and just like, I don't know, if you got 15 minutes, just try to smash through a bunch of levels. So it'd be kind of fun. Especially if it came to Switch. That'd be a pretty good down timer.
Wink, wink.
Hint. Wink. Hey, all games, Switch. Do it. Do it. Well, so were there any other kind of highlights there at the thing? I know we stopped by the who makes Overland and Tunic? The Finji booth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were demoing Tunic, which is just an adorable Zelda, but with a fox is sort of the pitch there.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It looks wonderful and very charming. And, you know, we're kind of like, hey, when's this come out? And they said, well, it's a exclusive, Xbox exclusive launch. And it was, and then we were like, wait a minute, we're game journalists. We get what you're saying, wink. It's coming out on something else, maybe, wink. They couldn't really wink back at us. But I'm very interested in this game, and hopefully it comes out on other platforms, is what I want to say. So, not just on Xbox. But the Tunic just looks awesome, and I'm looking forward to playing that.
I'm sure it'll come out to at least. I feel like every game that we always see at PAX always translate into the Switch somehow, whether it's now or.
You know what? I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
You know what didn't? Swords of Ditto never came to the Switch.
Yeah, you're right. That was the game that we featured last year at this time.
Yeah, that was kind of the pick last year. It's still not on the Switch yet. And I'm suing whoever did that. I think it was Devolver.
Oh, it's Devolver, so.
Yep.
I'll just quickly run down my list real quick. I also saw a game called Dark Devotion, which is it's a roguelike RPG game. I mean, the art style is similar to like Hyper Life Drifter and Dead Cell, which is like my jam. But you know, the object of the game is almost like a fighting game, almost like out of like Devil May Cry.
Mm.
So you're just like, but to me when I was demoing it, it was very challenging, almost to a point where I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But every enemy that you approach is a fight, and it's a lot of like dodging and attacking and trying to find the pattern. But I think I beat like the first one, and it was very satisfying. And then I went up to another one, and it was like, it was just very brutally hard. And I'm not, that's not my place. I wish I could just press A to win all the time. But this is no way near what I was wanting to. I mean, the art style is really cool. It's really dark and gloomy, but I feel like I didn't, I'm not dogging the game. I'm just saying, like, this may not be for me, but I think it's worth checking out if you like challenging games like this.
So if you're a fan of like the Dark Souls thing.
Yeah, I think Dark Souls was part of the inspiration for sure. I think a lot, there's a lot of that's almost like a new genre now too. It's like it's a Souls like game. I'm just like, that's not for me. Give me something bright and funny, and I will play it. like Blazing Chrome, which I also demoed. Blazing Chrome is Contra.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it's basically Contra slash like Metal Slug, if you ever played that. It's just a fun co-op arcade game, and you're just in this post-apocalyptic world, and it's really colorful, it's really loud. I think Zach, you mentioned it, it's almost like, what'd you say, it's like a
it's a heavy
rock video.
Yeah, it's like a heavy metal music video.
Yeah, and you're just basically running and gunning, and you, it's very reminiscent of Contra. So I feel like I was like, if Contra's your thing, like definitely. It's kind of bullet hell, bullet storm type situation. I'm okay with playing something like that, but I thought it was fun. I thought that was pretty cool.
Cool. You know what? Not to again be negative. Vlambeer is always one I look forward to, like what they have, and I think they're doing like Nuclear Throne demos last year, like challenges and stuff like that. It was kind of fun. But this year they're showing off a new game called Ultra Bucks, which is kind of like an arcade shooter. What would be a good kind of sort of like a Geometry Wars kind of like where the enemies sort of fill the level and you have to kind of blast them out and win.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. It felt like Geometry Wars slash Hexix.
Yeah.
and the thing about it that got me was that it almost has the same, like, you're trying to beat a high score, right? Or you're trying to get the best score possible out of the game. Out of, like, when I was playing, it immediately reminded me of Flappy Bird, you know, where you just keep...
Yeah, you're, like, you're destined just, to you, die, but...
Yes.
It's just continuous. Basically,
yeah. And I was and you know, it kind of did. I sat there for 20 minutes in this really weird chair that would not score well in Booth Tycoon, but yeah, I found myself sitting there for almost 20 minutes trying to get this high score, and though it was enjoyable trying to reach that goal, it kind of got frustrating towards the middle or towards the end, and I was just like, okay, this is fun, but I need more than just this. I need more than just running out, blowing bugs up, and then feel like I'm progressing, because it just got really hard. It's like they just amped up after the first, like at the third minute mark, it just got really hard. It got really difficult. So
yeah, I think like, it's very arcadey, you know, very like just make you grind and you have to put another quarter in and keep playing, you know. I don't know if that's going to be one I'm going to pick up just from how I was feeling what you were feeling, like, okay, I'm dying, okay, cool, I should go again. But you know, maybe that's the secret, like the Flappy Bird thing is like to be this addictive game where it just keeps challenging you. You know, it's always a challenge, you know. But I'm too softened by the Nintendo and Breath of the Wild, which just wants me to explore.
Well, in defense of the developer, I think it's still early alpha, and even to a point where the logo of the game got like markered off, and then they put in a new name saying, oh, we just thought of this morning. So yeah, even the title is a work in progress.
I think they MS Painted that, and then they're selling t-shirts with the MS Paint logo.
Yeah.
Which is kind of their style, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think, again, they can kind of do no wrong, but I just definitely was I just don't know if this is going to be what I'm going to grab. So, Zach, who won PAX for you?
I mean, aside from Devolver's really strong showing, the NIS software booth I thought was really excellent. They had a bunch of really cool titles. For people who don't know, well, you know who NIS is, but you know who NIS is. They're a small Japanese action and RPG company. They're probably most famous for their Disgaea series, which is on PC and most consoles. Which is a tactics role-playing game that has some fun verticality stuff. They're porting some of their titles into Switch and also developing some new ones. So they're Jan was saying, it's stuff that's a bit more colorful, action adventure oriented, not really roguelikes, but more traditional side-scrolling stuff with a twist, basically, is I guess the best punchline for them. So that was really fun to see a booth of people of titles that were actually kind of focused on Switch, and they're in that middle ground of not quite how you're describing the Flambeer stuff, where it's arcadey, which I kind of am starting to wonder if that's not a trend. There seems to be bubbling up of the roguelite games. Mm-hmm. There's definitely this pendulum swift to the quick consumable action and die, shut it off and come back to it later type consumption. So maybe that's just a design trend.
I wonder if it's our mobile device mm-hmm. attention deficit disorder is now creeping into game design.
Yeah. I think there's
responding.
And it'll probably work for a while, and then, hopefully, most things, it's in waves, and we'll get a swing backwards. But the only other game I really played, and actually played it for a little while, was in that Indie Rising, quad that was kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
One of the corners had this Aqualungers, which is available on Steam in Early Access right now. But it's a one-man show, basically. I met the developer. He was really friendly. He explained the mechanics, and it's a four-player party game where basically it's a reward retrieval where you're all divers, and you have to swim down to the bottom, collect treasure, and then there's three types of obstacles. There's these fish monsters that will chase you, and when they hit you, they'll knock the treasure out, so you gotta recollect it, and then you can also collide
Wario.
Like a Wario game, and if you collide with each other, you'll also knock treasure out of each other. So again, much like the WarioWare,
Sonic, yes,
mm-hmm. And it was again colorful, easy to pick up, easy to play, probably hard to master, but just kind of fun and not really. I don't know. It was fun without being stressful, mm-hmm.
So that's party games that I like to, chill with some casual players with, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So I was kind of happy to see that. And I think y'all already really hit the nail on the head. I was really bummed out that PlayStation's booth was just focused on a couple of titles, the VR experience and then one other. And then the Namco booth, they're trying to push that jump fighting game?
No, Jump Force, the anime Dragon Ball fighter kind of.
Yeah, it's all the Shonen Jump title mainline characters mashup fighting game. And I don't know, I was just kind of bummed out a little bit. I could see that doing really well in a particular audience, but I was just this is the only thing you're going to. Oh, okay.
I guess. Right?
Yeah.
Booth Tycoon. You need one or two.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, maybe they're trying to find some a game to put up in the esports arena.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, Ain't going for that.
That's
fine.
No.
Mm-hmm. Jan and I played a game, just a little game called Dicey Dungeons. It was sort of like a, what would you call it, Jan?
Dicey
like a
dungeon.
Like a dice-based dungeon crawler, which sounds like D&D, but it was a little more like accessible. Like you just showed up. You could probably describe it, but you just you threw some dice and then you applied those points to beat a character. Beat a bad
So you go up against it's 1v1 against another character, and you either roll some dice and select your buffs, right? It's almost like I want to buff up my firepower, or I need more shield, you know, something like that. And so you just select the dice and you attack with from that. And I think it was fun for a while for me, but at the same time, I was like going like, well, the highest number wins, right? So I always put like a 6 die like on top of my firepower or something, and I kept winning. So I was like, okay, so I guess I don't know if I'm playing this correctly or I'm just getting really lucky with the demo.
You found the corner sweep maneuver?
Yeah. but then I did bypass the harder enemies. Just because I wanted to win the cool pin that they were giving away if you finished the demo. Nice. Yeah.
They have a alpha on Itch, so you can check it out. But I think that was one game I just was like, this would be very cool, because I could see like getting my kids into it, like introducing them to Dungeons & Dragons kind of through this game. Just sort of this idea like you roll dice to beat enemies, you know? So I'm kind of curious where it goes. I think it needs to come out on like an iPad or something, because it's very like tactile game. I think you were doing a lot of mouse dragging. But it would be cooler if it was like kind of iPad based. So, but I don't know. Who knows what they're doing.
The art style was really fun or kiddie like. You know, one of the dice has like an eye patch, and one's holding a sword. I mean,
and like the bad guys were like on. Depressed teenager and stuff like that. So like,
like a ghost, like some sort of ghoul, and I enjoyed it. I need like a little bit more context, but I would like to see more of what comes out of this.
All right, well, we should wrap up our PAX segment because we got other segments to get into. But I think we're all okay calling. Gato Roboto the winner of PAX? I think so.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely can't a stand up. Thank you, Devolver.
Thank you, Devolver. You win this year again.
You win again.
But it better come on Switch or else you get demoted back. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, next, Jan, you wanted to do an Overwatch Minute.
Oh my gosh. we'll make this quick just because in our last episode we talked about we finally reached plat and we felt like we were like getting crossing off one of our milestones in the game. And then for me, all of a sudden that just went downhill like really fast. And I think one of the problems is they buffed up Reaper.
Yeah.
And all the games that I played against this newly buffed Reaper, I just lost. And I'm over here running around going like, man, like this Reaper, like he would just destroy our team. Like he'll get pocketed by like a Mercy or get bubbled by a Zarya. And no matter what we do or try to reconfigure to counter this, he just kept destroying us. And I was like, well, I mean, I could play a fairly decent Reaper, but I'm still getting owned by the other Reaper. It's like I'll walk up to him and I try to kill him and he just takes me out. And the only thing that's going through my head is like I'm Reaper, but stronger than you.
I don't know what they're doing. They're like, okay, let's give Reaper more. Let's give him a buff. So he can go in. Do short range fighting, pow, 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 with his shotguns that deal like massive damage at close range. He takes no penalty at close range because for every hit point of damage he deals, he gets a hit point of health back. So he just like chop, 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 just taking people out, getting 100, 200, 400 health as he's doing it. And then if things get too bad and he's kind of losing, he just vapes out, goes, finds a healer, gets healed up, walks back in, pap, 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 pap. It's so unfair. It's just, it's so broken, man. And then, I don't know. The whole thing, I think they're trying to counter this goats meta, you know, which is kind of going on, which is like a bunch of tanks and a bunch of healers kind of rush in and like do a bunch of, you know, basically unkillable because there's so much healing and so much tank hit points stuff. And the healers are actually do more damage than the DPSs, the damage characters. But I think they tried to balance that by making all the DPS, the damage players, more strong. But all those like health buffs like need to go away. I don't know. Maybe I'm too realistic, but like you should. I just sort of feel like you shouldn't get health if you're hitting like from hitting. Does that mean nothing? Reality doesn't work like that. There's no weapon where I can like hit you and I get more health from it. So like I think that needs to go away from the whole system.
Am I mistaken? Is that not a feature that essentially no one else has? Vampirism? Outside of maybe, who's the healer destroyer gal?
Moira can vape too.
But she's actually dealing damage, right? She's not absorbing from you?
Well, I think her I could be wrong, but I've heard her like health meter can now run out pretty quickly, like her we call it her whiz. It's the yellow helix. Her whiz runs out, and so but if you do more damage you get more, like that fills up quicker, but I actually don't know if that's true or not, but she'll build her ult quicker and then she can just like use this super stream to heal people, you know, so and deal damage. So
if my memory serves, I feel like, because I remember before when Reaper didn't have vampirism, like he was just a heavy DPS and he's designed to eliminate tanks essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Or like if he's really lucky, you get the death blossom and wipe out a bunch of squishies. But when they added the vampirism, that was to like deal with people like Ana and the like you guys are talking about the like the healer DPS combo that seems to be really dominating things.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the fix is to kill vampirism and that way he can still have his damage buff, but at least there's a penalty for being all out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's I think my thing. Like there has to be a penalty or a sacrifice, I guess, for going in. Does that mean you're committing to a thing, like, and even Tracer, I feel like her guns they're the kind of the weakest in the game, but you know, if she empties a clip into you, you're dead, you know, but I still feel like maybe that shouldn't be true. You know what I mean? Like her speed is too much of a power. Like you can't even hit her cause she's just going so fast. So anyway, I feel like if you have evasion as one of your primary skills, like you should not be a massive damage dealer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, or if you're a massive damage dealer, healing should not be your passive power.
Passive ability.
Yeah. 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 It's just a little ridiculous. So, but I will say I've been playing Zarya lately and this is a bit of game design stuff, but Zarya is this Russian woman with the big microwave gun, and she gets her charge by shielding your team. And so my team, and then my tank takes a bunch of damage. Now my charge goes up. It's weird, but it works, whatever. Laws of physics. But the sound of that gun when it is fully juiced up and charged is one of the best audio experiences in video games I've had probably in a very long time. It's just like, wub, 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 wub. It's like just this sickening wub, wub, wub. And is beautiful. It makes you feel powerful. It makes you feel excited to mow people down, it gives you like a cue, like, oh yeah, I'm juiced up right now, I need to go do murders. And so I just it's that sound effect, I think, is like just whatever. The
And your headset's 7.1, right?
The new one. Yeah, I have a 7.1 headset, so it's just like fully surrounding me.
Yeah, so it's almost like you literally feel like you're in a bubble that's being charged up.
Yeah,
and it's just almost like an electric hug.
Yeah, no. It's extreme. It's the coolest like audio experience like in video gaming. I will challenge anyone.
Yeah, I would like to. I every once in a while I'll dabble with Zarya, but and I'm so bad at her. But once you do go up against another team that's just, you know, spamming all of their damage towards you, it's so satisfying to melt down all the squishy heroes. Mm. Just gotta look for them. Yeah, so she's fun to play, hard to master for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely not there, but it's fun. All right. Well, we barely have time. We're way over time. But let's do a stand up real quick.
Okay.
This is the whole point of the show. What games have you been playing? What are you going to play? And do you have any blockers? We'll start with Zach.
All right. Signed up for the Switch Online account this week so that I could play Mario Kart against people. Sweet. Finally was getting punished, and so I'm having to learn how to play with the heavy drivers on the 150 tracks and the mirror stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of like an adjustment, like all the technique that I thought I had with like 50 and 100 cc is just like out the window. But it's been a good couple of Sunday night runs after we got back from our trip. I've been playing a lot of Hand of Fate. If you've never played it, it's a really fun. There actually is a sequel now, also Hand of Fate 2. And what it is sort of like I want to call it a card-based choose your own adventure action game. So you are playing against this guy, and the deck determines like the encounters that you have, but each encounter is in real time. So you have this sort of like Batman Arkham style fight. And if you beat the bandits or the rat swarm, or, you know, like kind of traditional D&D stuff pops out at you, you earn a currency, and you can like buy weapons in that instance. And then each time you play against Fate, you're building up your deck, but it's not like a CCG in the sense of like you have to buy crates or anything like that to get new cards. All the cards are in the game, and they're won by you completing rounds of going through a storyline with them. And it's really fun because the Fate character talks to you. He's like, I'm not 100% sure what the story is, but it's like you're playing against Fate to live, and you're playing a game against him. So it's sort of like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, but a little less less ridiculous.
Less hammy.
Okay. Yeah, less hammy. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of fun. I really recommend it. It's like a good, you can play like a good 15, 20 minute round and not feel like you've wasted time at all.
Is it like solitaire, or is it they're more like a progression?
Like it is, it is not like solitaire. It is like the cards just dictate the sequence of sort of like randomly generates a dungeon for you.
Okay.
And so your character is a piece. It touches a card. That card turns over, and then something happens. Like either you fight six guys and then you do the action stuff, or you come across a shop or a person, and then you have choices for how to interact with that person, and you might get a reward based on how you interact with them and stuff like that. It's really fun, like very, very compelling. Kind of like Reigns, but not passive.
Okay.
Like Reigns, you're just flipping a choice, right? Like left or right.
Yeah.
So this actually, like, the cards will, you continue to add to the options for what can happen in your adventure. So like I'm stuck on one of the adventures right now because I'm like playing it badly apparently. But yeah, interesting.
Okay.
Deeper than it looks. Starting to clean up the last few puzzles of The Witness. I put it down about a year ago and just like picked it back up because I was like, you know what? I really enjoyed that. It's very meditative. It's quiet. It's beautiful to look at. The puzzles are infuriating, but it's kind of fun to like use that part of your brain, you know,
shape
stuff.
That's on my list of shame. I need to do it.
Oh, yes. And then last bit is right now, I don't know if it'll still be when this comes out, but I'm going to pick up Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I've just been reading nothing but great stuff about it. I haven't played one since Syndicate, and that was 2 Assassin's Creeds ago or something. But they revamped it. It's all like more like an action RPG, but it seems like they've just like refined the formula really well. And so just curious to see what it's like, and you know, run around ancient Greece looks dope. So
cool. There you go. Awesome. Jan. Yeah.
All right. I've been playing, because I was, you know, burned out by Overwatch and getting all salty about Reaper. One of the gamers that we play with on our Discord suggested Ring of Elysium, which is not PUBG.
Yes, it's very different than PUBG. It is definitely not.
Yeah, so Wink. I'm still playing that, actually the developers have improved it, have updated a new patch recently. That game is still buggy as heck, but still playable, and it's fun. It's fun for me. I recently dragged Dave into it, and so you also demoed it too, right? Or you tried it out?
Yeah, I played around. Is the snowboard still there? Do they keep that?
There's a snowboard. There is a glider. There's a grappling hook, and there's bikes.
Yeah, there's bicycle bikes
to me. Yeah, there are bicycles. Zach, this game is awesome, and it's definitely not PUBG.
Definitely not PUBG. Yeah, there's no bicycles in PUBG.
It's not PUBG. But you like are in a firefight, and you're like, peace out, T button, T key. Now I have a bicycle, and I'm just BMXing the hell out of here. It is like the most fun I've had in the game in a long time, I think, just from like that like, oh wait, now we're like boys on bikes and we just ride around, you know, and find people to shoot on our bikes. That's terrible. That sounds very terrible. But it's so fun. It's just like, I don't know. It just adds this like whole other sort of, I don't know. You know, Fortnite is all about kind of cartoony, and then you build your forts or whatever, and then PUBG is kind of super realistic, you know, and this someone mm-hmm. took kind of the middle ground and was just kind of like, what about you have a snowboard and you just snowboard around, and it's like, okay, yeah, let's do that. That sounds great. So it's fun. I went like 3 out of 4 last night. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, you tore it up last night. So that was fun. So the end game, instead of like being the first one to kill everybody or to be eliminated throughout the entire game, be the last one standing. At the end of the game, there's a helicopter that only seats 4, and you got to get up on this helicopter to escape, to, you know, go to safety. And that I think is the exhilarating part for me, because towards the last minute of the game is you and maybe what 16 other players or so are trying to get on this helicopter, and last night, yeah, like our game last night, Dave was able to get in there like 3 out of 4 times, which is incredible, because it took sometimes it's hard to get there once, so
But
I don't know. The gameplay is like he says. It's not Fortnite. It's not PUBG. I kind of compare it to like, it's almost like if you know if GTA Saints. It's like a Saints Row of GTA, right? It's almost like that. It's kind of ridiculous with the bikes and the snowboarding, but it works and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's way more fun than I thought I would have with just these Royale games. So I like the final four thing, like the four people get off the island thing. Just because it's kind of like you want your squad to get off, you know, like the kind of pushes you to play as a team, you know, and it's not just like one person take all. I think that's very fun. So
yes. And last note on it, it's free to play. It costs nothing.
Yeah, zero.
You can just download it from Steam.
$0.
You don't have to drop a dime.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to be nice to the developers and drop $10, go for it. But it's a free-to-play game.
All right.
And the other game I've been playing is... this is definitely a very backlog game. But I'm playing Don't Starve Together. And this game came out in 2014, and I feel like that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I'm finally getting to it. This game is still being updated by the developers, which is amazing. I fired up the game, and there's all sorts of new you can things to collect, like new hats and new weapons and things like that. I really enjoy it. So basically, it's just a game that I always wanted to play with some friends and just to chill out with. So this totally worked out for me. Also, I know that Resident Evil 2 is out, and I know that Kingdom Hearts 3 is out, but I'm going to skip them for now. I don't want to add to my list, but a game that just came out of alpha is, or out of the, what is that Steam thing? Or
Greenlight.
Early access. It was an early access. Slay the Spire, which is a game. It's a deck building game, where you just collect build up cards and specials, and you just fight enemies. It's a roguelike game. Again, another roguelike game, but it's just you're in this tower and you're just fighting your way up. And I don't know much more about that other than the graphic looks really cool. Kind of looks like Dead Cells, you know, like I mentioned earlier. It's like that 16-bit like art style. So I definitely want to pick that game up on the next run.
Nice.
Sounds good.
Nice. So I can go Ring of Elysium, which is great. Fun boys on bikes, and women too. It's not just it's good. It's a fun game.
And it's very inclusive.
I played the intro of Edith Finch, and then my 5-year-old crawls into my armpit and is like, "What's going on?" It's like, I think I'm playing a horror story, so I guess I'm going to turn this off and we'll watch Barbie Dreamhouse. So I've been watching a lot of Barbie Dreamhouse, which is actually a pretty awesome show. And also Carmen Sandiego on Netflix, also a really good show.
Solid.
Solid. All right.
It's legit. It's pretty good.
Glad they're bringing that back.
And then I did my homework. I got my 8-bit Duo controller.
Oh, you got your bootleg controller?
I
got
my bootleg controller. It is actually causing blue screens of death on my PC and my laptop. So,
oh god.
Not sure what's going on there, but could be a driver issue maybe. So, I'm going to hopefully fix that up because I do have a business trip coming up here, and my whole thing was like, I'll play these games I've been wanting to play. This would be cool. Like, just play it on the airplane or in the hotel room or whatever, you know. So, but I don't think that's going to happen if this keeps happening. So that's unfortunate. So, a lot of people online are like, I have no problems with it. So it's like, oh, it's just me then. Great. But so we'll see. Maybe I'll have to bail out and play the Switch and buy a new game for the Switch. So I'll see what's going on there. And I'm somewhat related to video games here. I'm reading a book called Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, and it's
I heard about this.
A look into like how video games are made. This guy over like from like 2014 to 2017 interviewed like 13 game studios as they're kind of building out their product and kind of did tells the story of like 13 different games being developed. I'm only in like chapter 2, but it's really pretty cool and kind of a good insight. And I'm like, it's like, I want to play like Uncharted 4 now because like that's one of the chapters. And I'm like, I never wanted to play Uncharted, but now I suddenly do. So, anyway, it's a cool book if you're interested in video games and books in that intersection there. So,
That's funny because I just added that to my audio account.
Oh, you did? Yeah. So
I've been sitting on it for a year now. I was like, oh, I can finally download this.
We'll do a book club, dude.
Book club. All right.
Did you get this from the library or is it?
No, so it was on Amazon and Amazon. Yeah. Like Audible. Was like it's $3 and I was like yes it is and
it you're like hey I've got $3
I mean
it's crazy
it was like okay and it'll be the book I read next because you know I just was like already looking for a book and so you know I don't know so all it feels right. serendipitous
I'll have to check it out then
yeah we can book club it chat club. Yes. We'll check that all out. All right. Well, thank y'all. Anyone else have anything else? No, we're good. Any housekeeping?
Well, I know. I know that you mentioned board gaming for this episode.
We'll have to push it to the next one because we can talk about games. We're way over time. We'll push that to the next one. We'll talk about games. Well, games will be a thing, and then we have to push it, but we'll be back next week. Talking board games, and then we'll also just have a normal sized episode, hopefully, for your podcatcher. So, anyway, all right. Well, thanks everybody for listening and downloading this. We really appreciate it. As always, send us your game recommendations. Let us know what you're playing. We want to know and follow up and keep up with you as you clear out your Steam queues. And thanks so much, and good luck, and have fun.